This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We talked about 10 criticism with Sheikh Yasir. Now, inshallah, in this part, we will continue other
criticism. It's getting very hot, by the way, Sheikh.
Allah will be easy, inshallah.
Inshallah, okay.
Just we want to clarify it, Sheikh, inshallah.
It's up to you. And again, for the record, Sheikh, this is your initiative, your questions. And I'm inshallah. More than, and by the way, anybody, wallahi, anybody who wants to talk with me about any issue, فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ. My masjid is here, come anytime. I have no problem speaking with any person of ilm, or even anybody, just a Muslim wants to come, I have no problem. Yeah. Bismillah, I'm ready.
By the way, Sheikh, we collected more than 100 criticism. Then we summarize all of them. It became
when
like...
When you say we, you mean you and your
my,
group?
My group.
Okay, because I don't really follow my critics.
We work it out,
I don't really follow my critics, and okay. I think to be honest, Sheikh, and again for the record, some of the people I think it's almost useless to even defend. They already made up their minds.
Yes.
But there are many who are open-minded. And again, wallahi, it's not for my shakhsiyya.
No.
But sometimes the criticism is slanderous and an outright lie. And I cannot be, it hurts, wallahi it hurts.
Yeah.
To say that I allow shirk, a'udhu billah.
Yeah.
To say that I'm pro-LGBT, a'udhu billah. Subhanaka hada buhtanun azim. And again, anybody who sincerely believes that I have, he sincerely believes a sheikh or a scholar or whatever, may Allah forgive. But anybody who propagates these buhtan, and anybody who is slanderous intentionally, I have said on the day of judgment, we have a hisab between this person.
Yeah. Okay, just I'll summarize all of them in 18. We talk about 10. Now
okay.
We have 8 in this part, inshallah.
Okay.
Criticism number 11 is that, Sheikh, you said that you can pick any madhab which seems best for you.
No, this is simply untrue. Okay. I challenge anybody to find any clip like this. I have always said you have two options in front of you. Either you follow your madhab and stick to it, or
the madhab, you're talking about the Sunni madhab.
Yeah, Sunni madhab.
The
four madhab.
Okay.
Or you follow a sheikh, an alim that you think is qualified, and your intuition and your conscience tells you this is a person who fears Allah and is sincere and has ilm. And you ask the sheikh whatever question and you follow. You don't have to ask the madhab of the sheikh. As long as he's a mainstream mufti and alim, you are not allowed to pick and choose your fatwa based upon
convenience. The criticizer tries to let people know the sheikh says, okay, anyone you love, just go. This is what he thought.
No,
anyone
anybody,
seems good for you,
anybody,
just go.
This is the... Anybody whom you feel fears Allah and has ilm, you have to make a judgment in the end of the day. Ya sheikh, what do you expect the ammi to do? Yani, what do you expect? The average Muslim in America, who is he going to follow? He has to make a small ijtihad about who's going to make the big ijtihad for him.
Right.
He has to make a small ijtihad about which mujtahid I will choose. And I have been very clear, I am never calling to myself, brothers and sisters, a'udhu billah, find the people of knowledge whom your heart finds comfort in. And wallahi, I say to you, as Allah is my witness, if you find a group of ulama who say to you, Yasir Qadi, we don't know what he is and it's best to avoid him, avoid me and follow those ulama as long as your heart is content. I'm not calling to myself. But if you find what I'm saying helpful and beneficial, hada min fadlillah. And if you find it mistaken, when you come to me and let's have a polite dialogue. But one thing you don't need to do is to get involved in scholarly debate when you're not a scholar. One thing you don't need to do is to get involved in internet drama when you don't understand the back and forth. It's not, it is enough, of a Muslim that it is enough to be considered a liar that he considers that he, sorry, it is enough to be considered a liar, our Prophet ﷺ said, that he keeps on regurgitating what he hears from other people. Don't talk about other people, concentrate on yourself.
Perfect, Sheikh. Criticism number 12, that Ya'juj wa Ma'juj al-Suri, they said, Sheikh, that you are denying the existence of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj nowadays. that you said they are there. You said that they will come at the day of as a sign from the signs of the day of judgment. You believe that they came in the beginning, in the early time, but you do not believe the existence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj nowadays. And there is hadith says that they are exist and they are digging from the...
Jayid, so as I have explained, this is not again a unique position to me. Actually, Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di, who is the teacher of Ibn Uthaymeen, held the exact same view. And also one of my teachers in Medina, Shaykh Mansur al-Samurai, actually held the same view as well. And also
Qurtubi
as well. And there's multiple ulama. Once again, the problem comes again, I have said this respectfully, the majority of those who are involved in prioritizing criticism of other people, they are not qualified to criticize in the first place. This is really, I think, one of our fundamental problems is that we've created a mass industry of entertainment via the drama of criticism. And so when people aren't qualified to discover faults, what the position I hold is a minority view. By the way, with utmost respect again, I am not aware of any book of aqidah putting in their matan of aqidah that a part of the aqidah of the Muslim is that they must believe that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are trapped behind the wall. There is no book of aqidah that I'm aware of the early times of Islam, and I have read many of them, that has this as a part of its aqidah. We believe in Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they existed in the past, the Quran says so. We believe they will come in the future, the hadith says so. As for the issue of them being trapped behind the wall right now, there is only one explicit hadith in this regard, and it is in the Jami' of At-Tirmidhi, and Al-Hafid Ibn Kathir himself says that this hadith is da'if and it seems to be from the Israeliyat. If you remove this hadith from the picture, there is no explicit evidence that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are currently alive, trapped behind the wall. So, I don't have, so again, one needs to understand Sunni methodology is what? Is that if the Prophet ﷺ said it, we accept it. But what if he didn't say it? How do we know he said it? When the hadith is da'if, and some person says the hadith is da'if, and I believe the hadith is da'if. Also, one of my teachers and mentors has an entire chapter and article online, you will find it, about why this hadith is da'if. And you will find this, also one of the students of Ibn Uthaymeen wrote three articles about this hadith, explaining why it is weak. The hadith is weak from an isnad standpoint. So my opinion, when I first, the first lecture I gave about Ashraat al-Sa'ah, I was followed Shaykh al-Albani, who said the hadith is hasan. So I said the hadith is hasan, we must accept it. That is what I say. If the hadith is hasan, we accept it. But later on I discovered, actually no, Shaykh al-Albani could be mistaken. And Ibn Kathir and Fulan, they all say this hadith is weak. And so when the hadith is weak, there is no evidence to suggest that they are currently, you know, trapped behind a wall. So my position is therefore, this is what I consider to be the more appropriate one. But at the same time, to make this issue an issue of aqidah is itself a problem, because it is not an issue of aqidah. No scholar of aqidah said, or no mainstream scholar and no authoritative book said, that of the beliefs of Ahlus Sunnah is that there are billions of people currently trapped behind a wall somewhere on earth. And perhaps one day I'll give a library chat where I explain this in more detail. But again, what I am saying, Anwar Shah Kashmiri, the famous alim of India, Sheikh Rashid Rida, Sheikh Abd al-Nasir al-Sa'di, all of them, they held this view. Al-Qurtubi has a similar view as well. Plenty of ulama said this as well. It's nothing new, but unfortunately, the people don't know.
In Tafsir al-Qurtubi, by the way, he has three opinions. The first opinion, that they are exist, but he does not like this opinion. The second opinion, he said they won't come. They won't come at the day as a sign.
Yeah, he actually has even more. Yeah.
You don't have this opinion.
No, not at all.
You do have opinion that they will come as a sign.
Yes.
But Imam al-Qurtubi himself,
he mentions an opinion.
Yes.
Because there is a well-known opinion, and again, people don't know this, that there is a mainstream opinion that the verses about Ya'juj and Ma'juj that are coming, right? حَتَّى إِذَا فُتِحَ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. Actually, many ulama said this was the Tatar invasion, the Mongol invasion. And they said it is not from the Ashraat al-Sa'ah towards the end of times, it is from the Ashraat al-Sa'ah that is happening right now. This is a mainstream Sunni opinion. But once again, unfortunately, and that's why it's difficult to say this, because it really comes off as harsh. But wallahi, I advise the brothers that look at who's doing the criticism, look at their track record, and look at their gaining of knowledge. Generally speaking, senior ulama are not involved in these types of things. And To make it a problem and to make it an issue of aqeedah is itself a problem. The position I hold is very mainstream. It might be a minority, I agree, but it is mainstream. It is well known, it is well documented, and it is something that usul as-sunnah affirms. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykhna. Criticism number 13, that you give fatwa that there is allowance to shaking hands the opposite gender.
There are many opinions that I'm sure people will find problematic. No problem. This is what fiqh is. Everybody knows this is one of the aqwal of the Shafi'i madhab. It is not the standard of the position, but it's there that if there's no shahwa, then it is allowed. Everybody knows that this is the position of many fiqh councils, including European, and it's also the position of Sheikh Qardawi and others. If somebody disagrees, then don't do it. But what I said actually is that it's makruh, to be technical. I said it is makruh when there is no shahwa, and it is haram if there is shahwa. Shahwa means desire and lust. It is makruh, it should be avoided. Don't make it the norm. So if somebody doesn't like the fatwa, no problem, but I don't see...
But they will say that there is hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنْ يُطْعَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِمِخَّةٍ.
Shaykh al-Bani himself says the hadith is weak. Shaykh al-Bani himself says the hadith is daif.
Shaykh al-Bani make this hadith weak?
Yes.
Then they don't have the evidence for this sayings.
That's, yeah.
Okay. طيب شبهة number 14 التجديد والإصلاح, that you said literally that we have to make changes, compromises, reforms in our religion.
No, I never said this. Once again, look at the videos and listen to my context. أعوذ بالله, we don't make reform in the deen. أعوذ بالله, the deen is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in the ideas of men, in positions that were held 500 years ago, no problem. Yes, tajdeed is done in the opinions of men.
Sheikh did this?
Every alim. What exactly is every generation doing except rethinking through and representing what every generation is doing? So the notion of applying fiqh to our times in the context that we live in, this is what fiqh is. This is the essence of fiqh. Fiqh is meant to be applied in waqi'. It's not meant to be only studied theoretically. So when I talk about reform, it is not of the religion. Islah. It is not of the religion. It is of
the understanding.
The understanding of a previous generation. And this is well known. Again, in fact, and again, the irony is that even those that wish to be dogmatic in what they believe, their movements themselves were movements of reform. So the Najdi movement was itself an Islahi movement of its day. The Deobandi movement was an Islahi movement of its day, right? Every movement, it began as an Islah for the time. Now, later scholars wanted to stick with the earlier version of the movement. But the initial movement was an Islahi and Tajdidi movement. They had to be, or else how would they benefit the Ummah? So again, to be clear, what I'm saying, and anybody who does not understand this, all you need to do is to listen to my Q&As that I've given. I have, I think, over almost 300 detailed Q&A sessions I have online on this YouTube channel. Go look them up. Anybody who says, A'udhu Billah, that I'm trying to reform Islam, A'udhu Billah, this is Kadib and Bhutan, go listen to those fatawa. What do you think is reforming? I am faithful to the text of the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and even to traditional Islam. The irony of ironies that I find is that the actual progressives, who consider many things like liwat to be halal and what not to be, the actual progressives label me a fundamentalist, and those that are on the more ultra fundamentalist side, they label to be liberal and whatnot. These are labels. In here, illa asma samaytumuha. In the end of the day, methodology and real example speaks louder. So anybody who doesn't understand what I'm trying to say, listen to my actual talks about fiqh, my actual fatawa that I've given, and how I make istidlal of those fatawa. This is, you see it in front of you. Subhanallah, I mean, there are so many opinions. I can literally, a simple example, nikah of a Muslima with a kafir. Some ulama are saying it is allowed. I have put my foot down. No, it is not allowed. By ijma', it is not allowed. Okay? And many other things in this regard. So what are you talking about reform? What issue? Quote me an evidence or an opinion. Quote me a position that I've held that has contradicted the ijma' of the ummah, or explicit. Every fiqhi position I hold, you will find mainstream ulama advocating it. So when I talk about reform, it's not in the deen. It is in a previous generation's understanding. And there are many, many examples. I've actually given these examples. For example, the books of fiqh say, the books of fiqh, not the Quran, not the Sunnah, that the prisoner should not pray Salat al-Jumu'ah. The Muslim prisoners of America, They have the constitutional right to pray Jumu'ah. Should we tell them the books of fiqh say don't congregate for Jumu'ah? Or should we understand that given the current time and place we live in, we should fight for their right to have Jumu'ah in prison? Ya Shaykh, you know fiqh. The books of fiqh say Jumu'ah is not obligatory upon the prisoner. They should not pray. Another example I gave it on my Facebook. The books of fiqh, all the madahib say that when the wife falls sick, the husband is not obliged to pay. This is all four madhabs.
Even if she died,
this is all four madhabs.
Bring a kafan for her.
This is all four madhabs have these types of views. And I say, this is not the Quran and Sunnah.
This is the tajdeed which you're talking about.
This is the type of tajdeed.
Tajdeed, it mentioned in the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
so this is the tajdeed in the opinions of men, in the application of a previous generation. Not a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah in the deen of Allah.
Changes.
A'udhu billah.
It's not changing the deen.
I don't have the right to change the deen of Allah. Nobody has this right to change the deen of Allah. But the opinions that I have just said are not the deen of Allah. They are opinions of a previous generation. We respect them. Wallahi, we respect them. But we're not obliged to follow them.
Okay. The shubha after that right away, Shaykh, shubha number 15 or criticism number 15 is that you try to say that hum rijal wa nahnu rijal. The same topic, that hum fuqaha lahum ijtihadhum, they have their ijtihad, and also recent scholars, they have haqq either to criticize the old scholars or to have another ijtihad, like it's different than their ijtihad.
At some level,
why we don't just follow the ijtihad of our mashallah yani famous ulama and scholars, just let us follow them and that's it. Why you have to have right?
Firstly, I'm not saying this is my right. I am a tawila bi'ilm. Secondly, I'm following far senior ulama than me. As I have said, I don't have a single fiqh position that is unprecedented. Now, as for those who say that we should not break away from the four madhahib, we should have to stick with what they have said in the past, I respect that opinion. Good for them. I just think it's not the healthiest for the situation we find ourselves in. I don't criticize them. Fihim khair, fihim ikhlas, fihim taqwa and zuhd. But I think if you want Islam to flourish in the Western world, we have to understand the madhahib were codified in a different time and place. And the madhahib is not what Allah revealed. No. Allah revealed the Quran and He sent us a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Sunnah. This is our sources. We respect the madhahib. We would not be here without the madhahib. But I don't think we are obliged. I mean, how can we say we're obliged to follow a madhab? You're saying Allah made it wajib to follow a madhab? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. We respect the madhab. And it is healthy. I say the default is a person follows either a sheikh or a madhab. No problem. As I said this, right? But to say that it is wajib, this is, يعني, you are saying Allah is saying.
Well, Imam Abu Hanifa himself, he is the one who said, هُمْ رِجَال عَلَى الصَّحَابَ وَنَحْنُ رِجَال. By the way,
Imam Abu Hanifa, it is well known, but then they will say, Abu Hanifa said it, who are you? So again, you get
Abu Hanifa said it, who are you? No, Abu Hanifa said it about the Sahaba. Who is he?
This is what we call an emotional argument. An emotional argument.
We respect all madahib, but it's not obligation.
It's not
this
obligation.
What you say.
It's not obligation.
Okay, Sheikh. Criticism number 16, Sheikh. I think we talked about it before, but let us just. What is your opinion about jizya?
About jizya?
Naam.
That it is a part of our sharia, that Allah Azza wa Jal has mandated it as a default, but that given the current time and places, and given the fact there is no khilafah, given the fact we live in nation states, not me, our ulama have understood that it doesn't make sense to apply the jizya for a nation state. Again, Sheikh, this is a very deep issue. A nation state and a khilafah are two different systems of government. In a nation state, the jinsiya, everybody has to be the same. The Qibti and the Masihi and the Muslim, if he's Masri, he's going to be Masri. You can't have a gradation in the jinsiya, in the nation state. Wa illa, it's not a jinsiya, right? Every American has to have the same huquq or else they're not American. right? Every, you know, Mauritanian, every Yemeni has to have the same, or else they're not Yemeni. You cannot have a gradation within the jinsiyya system. So the concept of the nation state, of the dawla, is radically different than the concept of a khilafah. The khilafah has a totally different, so now we have a problem. The problem is, in the modern world, there is no khilafah, we have nation states. So what do we do with the books of fiqh that have issues that would make sense in a khilafah, but don't make sense in the modern nation state? All I'm saying, go ask the ulama of the other countries. Why are they asking me about jizya? I'm living in America. Go ask the ulama of the Muslim lands. Why aren't they calling for jizya? Because they understand, as we said in a previous...
Siyasa sharia
is different than modern. So we never, a'udhu billah, I have never, and this is...
They try, Sheikh, to let you seem to your followers that you are rejecting the hudud, rejecting something from the deen. This is what
not at all.
These criticism.
My context is very clear, Sheikh. And again, anybody who listens to my prepared lectures, maybe sometimes in an unprepared response, I might have an incorrect slip of the phrase, but anybody who listens to a prepared lecture, I would like to say that it is impossible for a sincere person to misunderstand what I'm saying. Wallahu a'lam.
Criticism number 17, that you have conversations with those who are enemies to Islam and you have an agenda.
I do have conversations with those who are disagree with. Maybe some of them I disagree with very strongly. The point of those conversations is not just to explain to them, but more importantly to those followers, their followers who look up to them. I remember almost 15 years ago, Tony Blair offered a class at Yale University, and it was an issue for me, should I take that class or not? And I eventually took it, and I felt that overall the benefit was more, because I was able to speak to him directly, and I explained to him the anger that the Muslim world feels, and I told him point blank to his face in front of the class that, you know, he will have to answer to his Lord on the Day of Judgment for what he has done in Iraq. Now again, some people can say this,
but
is not...
You are even sit with them, Sheikh.
That's their opinion. What do you want? I mean, again, what is the alternative? I don't know what to say to this. It's, to me, this is, they're living in a world different than mine. What else can we do except deal with our enemies, deal with people we don't like, explain to them our views? And even if we don't affect them, there are people, like, again, in my own case, my entire class was behind me against him. At Yale, everyone is a non-Muslim. Everyone is a very powerful whatnot, and throughout the course of the semester, alhamdulillah, as they say, taksim quluban, I managed to get my side to my audience, right? So even if, let's say, Tony Blair, his heart is qasiya, he's qaswat al-qalb, he's not listening to anything, how about the people in the audience? And also, I felt that nobody is telling him point blank what he needs to hear. He's surrounded by his own entourage of yes men, we call it in English, and yes men, you know, like everybody's praising him and whatnot. In any case, I don't know, I don't view this as a criticism. They're right, I speak with everybody and I speak my mouth with everybody, and I think this is what my religion calls me to do. I don't see this as a criticism.
Question, is that from our deen to have conversation with our enemy?
How can it not be? What is the entire seerah? You be harsh when you need to be harsh, you be strict when you be gentle, you need to be gentle.
Do you have any examples that Rasulullah was sitting with someone who doesn't believe in him?
What do you mean? The whole seerah is what? Other than giving da'wah to the kuffar and Quraysh?
No, they wanted to represent the seerah was just
Urwa ibn Mas'ud and others.
Rasulullah and his enemy, and that's it.
La, even
they were trying to make this.
How about the Christians of Najran? The Christians of Najran coming to the masjid and actually doing their rituals, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentions. No, it's literally the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't accept Islam. They did not accept Islam. But for a week, maybe even more than this, for a week,
and they were worshipping.
They were worshipping.
In the masjid.
This is what the hadith mentioned.
Sheikh said that
Ibn al-Qayyim says this and whatnot. And my point being that, again, I don't understand this criticism. What do you expect to do except you're going to sit with the one who disagrees, you're going to convey the message, and you're going to make sure the people in the audience understand. Now, in order to do that, with Tony Blair, for example, right? You have to sit as a student in class, you have to dress, you have to interact and smile. If somebody says, A'udhu billah, okay, you have, I don't know what to say, you have a different way of going about, you have to have a type of talattuf, a type of gentleness when you speak and talk, and get your point in a way that you're still in the audience. If I threw an egg at him, or more than this, what am I going to accomplish? So I don't understand what يعني, they expect of this type of thing. And I don't see this as a criticism. يعني, I don't understand the criticism, to be honest.
By the way, Sheikh, I have to say this, and you know that Sheikh Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said anyone says that the non-Muslim people haven't tried to come in the masjid and to have something from their worshipping in the masjid. If anyone says that, which is all those who are criticizing you in this point, they have this belief. Ibn al-Qayyim said, literally, you are following someone, it's not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah, I mean, the seerah shows that he allowed this. There's something well-known, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this. What can you do, Ani? Like I said, a lot of the people who are criticizing and whatnot, they haven't studied to a level that gives them the right to be critical of certain opinions.
Okay, criticism number 18. What is your view about those who are mocking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly? He said that you are not clear and you are not wadih with these guys.
La, I have said very clearly by ijma' of the ummah, the Muslim who does this has become murtad, and in an Islamic land, the penalty of ridda will be implemented against them. As for the dhimmi, even in an Islamic land, the ahnaf have a position.
What do you mean of dhimmi?
The dhimmi is the one who is a non-Muslim living in a Muslim land, in a khilafah, okay. Right? Nasrani or Yahudi living in a khilafah. Dhimmi, who mocks Allah and His Messenger, the Hanafis have a different position than the other three madhabs. So if anybody, again, I find this interesting, how is this problematic to mention the Hanafi position? As for us living in non-Muslim lands, what do they expect? And again, I have been very clear. We do not have the right to enforce any version of the Sharia upon the people living around us. Not at all. We are citizens of a land that has a different law. Just like the Sahaba in Ethiopia and Habasha, they did not implement the Sharia. A person became murtad in Habasha. The cousin of the Prophet, and well-known, became murtad in Habasha, distant, يعني, Quraysh, I'm saying. They became murtad. You know, Abdullah became murtad in Habasha. What did they do? Nothing. They didn't touch a hair on his head. What are you going to do? It's Habasha. You cannot implement. You are not judge. You're an executioner to do this. So again, I don't understand the problem in this regard. The Sharia is very clear. The Hukm is very clear. Ibn Taymiyyah has an entire book on it. The Muslim who does so, there is ijma'. The Dhimmi who does so, there's two opinions, a majority and minority. But the one in non-Darul Islam, what are you going to do? We oppose. We speak out against. We correct the misunderstandings. We're very angry at this. But what are you going to do? We cannot be violent and physical. A'udhu billah. This is not our deen to be violent and physical. And even in Darul Islam, you don't be violent and physical. You take it to the court of law. You go. Can you imagine if every Muslim was told, judge, you're an executioner. You decide what is blasphemy. You dislike what is sukhriya. No. Even in a khilafah, and they're following the majority opinion, not Hanafi position. In the majority opinion, you will go to the qadi, you will go to the sultan, you go to the mahkamah, you go to the judge, and they will then decide. So then, what do you think as a minority in America, in England, in Belgium? I don't understand what they expect, yani. What more do they want? So my position is crystal clear. The Sharia is very clear. The hukum is very clear. But we are living in a land where the Sharia is not being applied. And we have to correct in a way that بالتي هي أحسن.
Sheikh, last inshallah criticism you took your PhD from Western University, from Yale University. Why you did this?
Actually, this was the advice of some of my primary teachers from Medina, actually, including Sheikh Al-Azami. I had an interview with Sheikh Al-Azami, by the way. He passed away, Allah yarhamu. He was one of the people who also told me that you should get your PhD from abroad. And also, Sheikh Safar Al-Habali as well, I knew him very well. I visited him multiple times. He knew me. I went to him and I said, Sheikh, I'm concerned. I'm going to do a PhD, you know, in a non-Muslim university and whatnot. And he said to me, La, la, ya, ya, said, yajib alik. And he means like you have to go and do it, you know. And he, shajani, he encouraged me to do so. But what people don't understand is that I'm not studying Quran and Sunnah and Tafsir and Fiqh at these institutions. No, these institutions, they teach you what is called usul al-ilm, or maybe history, or how to process, how to analyze. It's a different thing. And again, this is a whole different topic. I've given longer lectures about the differences in Eastern versus Western education. So a person who wants to study the deen, for the sake of becoming religious, must go to a Muslim institution, to Al-Azhar, Jamia Islamia, Malaysia, whatnot. And I would not advise such a person to go to any Western institution, because they're not teaching the deen for the sake of deen. But if a person wants to think differently, and that has pros and cons, and wants to understand history, because a lot of emphasis on history, and wants to understand evolution of ideas, and wants to understand from a different worldview, they teach you a paradigm which is not relevant to any one religion. It is a paradigm of knowledge. How do you process history? How do you look at the world? This what is called usul or paradigm. It is independent of a deen or religion. It is simply a philosophy of science and of looking at history. There's a lot to benefit, and there's also potential problems. So, to respond to this, I say, I mean, I thank Allah for who I am, and I don't, I understand that some people find this notion problematic, and it's not meant for, you know, studying the Quran in Seerah and Tafsir, but listen to my lectures and see what I'm quoting, and you can judge for yourself. In any case, I have said very clearly, I don't advise a Muslim to study for the sake of Islam at any such institution. You want the deen for the sake of the deen, go to ulama. But these institutions have a different purpose. And if you go with that purpose, there is much to benefit, and there's also potential negatives that I have spoken about in other interviews.
Sheikh, it doesn't take you to liberalism, like what they are accusing you?
It doesn't take you to liberalism. Yani, it's up to you if you want to go that way or not. Yani, how can any institute drag you to something? You have to decide to do that. There are very orthodox, very practicing people in these institutes, and there are those that are liberal. It's up to you what you want to do. So you are your own boss in this regard. And if you want to become on that paradigm, it's up to you to do so.
Mm. Now, finally, just before I end, Sheikh, there is data. You have to know it. I think that you don't know it. Data about your videos. Sheikh Yasir Qadhi made 1,800 videos on his social media. We have YouTube, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have also Instagram. And mashallah, YouTube almost half a million followers or subscribers. And on Facebook, 1 million subscribers and followers. And Instagram, 500,000 also, and Twitter, 500,000. So these are your platforms. Number one, you did, Sheikh Yasir made 1,800 videos. And subhanAllah, you will be surprised, because we collected all views on all his social media for 1 week. Our brothers in Riyadh, they did this for Al-Majd TV.
Oh, Al-Majd TV. Yeah. I've been on Al-Majd TV back in the day, mashallah.
Sheikh, we collected all your views.
I did not know this. Okay.
It's 250,000,000 views in all your social media or your platforms.
Alhamdulillah.
From that, since you made your YouTube like 15 or 13 years ago.
Hada min fadlillah, and this is... I ask Allah for ikhlas and qabul. I ask Allah to protect my faults and sins. I ask Allah to guide me and to guide others through me. I ask Allah that the benefit that I bring about is much, much, much more than any mistakes and harm. Yeah. That's all we can do, inshallah.
We have to be proud of you, Sheikh. Our Sheikh has 250,000,000 views in all his social media and platforms. And also there is like 50 million people that they liked the video of the Sheikh, and there is 1 million people they didn't like, or 1 million dislike to the videos of the Sheikh, which the percentage is 1 or 2 to 100. Every 100 people, there is 98 people liked, and there is 2 people disliked. So we have, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, 250,000,000 views. This is, subhanAllah, like benefits for everyone who is watching Sheikh Yasir. I have 3 messages before I end this, inshallah, interview. One message for those who are watching Sheikh Yasir and they are liking his videos. Please, be like supporting to Sheikh Yasir Qadhi. Support also the, subhanAllah, the reputation of Sheikh Yasir Qadhi. It's like an obligation on us.
La, Sheikh, I have to interrupt you.
We should say that.
I have to interrupt you.
It's your hak on us, Sheikh.
I don't want people to get involved in social media debates. Wallahi, my advice to people is to benefit.
Just support, Sheikh. It's your hak on us, ya Mawlana. It's your hak on us.
If it's not going to exacerbate or make it worse.
After the explanations of Sheikh Yasir,
generically, Sheikh. But only without causing more fitna, Sheikh.
No more fitna. Just I'm talking about the support, regular support of our Sheikh. Now he declared and he clarified every single criticism. As an audience for Sheikh Yasir, he has haq on us to defend his reputation and to support him also. This is Sheikh, it's your haq on us, Sheikh. This is the first message. The second message for everyone who is criticizing Sheikh Yasir Qadhi without bad intention, like with good intention. Brother and sister, please put this ayah in your mind. إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Before you criticize, please make sure that Sheikh Yasser said this. This is exactly what I did. I didn't like what I watched from all these criticism, but I came to Sheikh Yasser right away. I called him right away. And I started calling him in last Ramadan, even in the time of Tahajjud, wallahi. Sheikh Yasser, did you say this? He said, yeah. How you said it? What's your explanation of this? Then I collected all these things and I came to him to clarify these things. For those who are criticizing with good intention, please, before you criticize and accuse anything, make sure about what you are saying. Allah will make hisab with you. The third message, or the fourth one, for those who are criticizing Sheikh Yasser, accusing something with bad intentions. اتقوا الله. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be facing Sheikh Yasser at the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, when you are criticizing our ulama, do you think that the new generations will let you be free? They will criticize you and they will accuse you a lot of issues. In the future, you just have 20 years or 25 years old. How much knowledge that you have? How many books that you read? Before you make this, remember, your followers now, they will come in one day and criticize you and accuse you with bad intentions too. This is my last message, Sheikh. Also, I want to thank my team, those who collected all these data. My brother, Yusuf Bakir.
MashaAllah.
He's like
I didn't know you had a whole team of doing this, MashaAllah.
And also my brother in Canada, Abdurrahman Bakir. MashaAllah. My wife also. MashaAllah. My lovely wife. And also a team in Al-Mash TV.
So your whole family and MashaAllah.
We collected all of that to clarify in front of everyone.
May Allah bless you, Sheikh.
And make everyone knows the reality of
I'm
all
very
this,
appreciative, yeah. Sheikhana. I'm very appreciative. Well, I would never have asked anybody to do this because I don't think it's worthy of me. I would never have wanted, you know, somebody to spend so much time, but you did it on your own. And I am appreciative because, Sheikh, I am human being in the end of the day. And most of these, now some of these quote-unquote criticisms are somewhat valid. I have left one interpretation to another, that's valid. But some of these, wallahi, Sheikh, buhtan, slander, about some of the things that, you know, I love the Quran, to be accused of, a'udhu billah, I love the Sharia, to be accused of saying something, you know, so it hurts, it really does, I'm a human being. So it is painful, and therefore, I appreciate the fact that you took the time to compile this list and allow me the opportunity to defend and whatnot. And in the end of the day, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah azza wa jal for ikhlas, for sincerity. I ask Allah for hidayah, ihdina sirata mustaqim. I ask Allah azza wa jal to make the Quran the guiding light for us and to allow the seerah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be our illuminating path. I ask Allah for the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. I am not ma'soom, I am not infallible, I make mistakes, I will make mistakes. I'm also at a time and a place where Islam is being attacked from so many different ways. I'm trying my best to preserve the deen of the next generation of this land and to defend the attacks. But because there's so many and so unique, there's no doubt there's going to be some mistakes. So my humble advice to those that are listening, when you find such a mistake and you feel that the good is more, allow the good to overlook that mistake. And if you want to, I would love that you correct the mistake with me directly. Come to me directly. And wallahi, Sheikh, inshallah, every single critic ever in my life that has come to me has either left the criticism or at least toned it down so much that it has become inconsequential. Never has a person sat with me one-on-one and discussed a difficult issue, except that by the end of that discussion, things have changed. Either they didn't have the issue anymore, or at least they understood that I have an opinion that they can respectfully disagree with. Unfortunately, Sheikh Yani, sometimes people don't come directly and they find a mistake and they make it bigger, or it's not even a mistake, or they spread it. And I think it's detrimental to the Ummah, Sheikh. Wallahi, I think it's detrimental. We don't need more internal drama. We have enough external drama to actually worry about. As we're speaking, what's happening in Palestine? What's happening to our Uyghur brothers and sisters? What's happening in Kashmir? What's happening in India? As we're speaking, Muslims are leaving the faith. How many of our young Shabab are leaving the faith? As we're speaking, the Shahawat and Shubuat. Ya akhi, you want to do something to my critics? I say, go find these battles and wage them. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So much to do. And if you think somebody is wrong, then present something better. rather than simply finding the faults of the first person. If you think a methodology is wrong, defend the truth in a better way. And may Allah bless you when you do so. This is my sincere nasiha. Wallahi, we want barakah in all da'wah to Allah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. We're making da'wah to Allah Azza wa Jal, not to our personalities. So anybody who disagrees, go ahead and disagree with adab. Go ahead and correct where possible and ask Allah for hidayah and tawfiq and sadat.
Inshallah. Before I end this, I have a small story in 1 minute and I will end inshallah with you. One from Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam multiple times drinking alcohol. Then one from the Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, La'anak Allah, may Allah curse you. You are coming a lot and drinking alcohol. You don't have tawbah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him and taught us actually with this unique statement. He said, لا تكن عونا للشيطان على أخيك إنه رجل يحب الله ورسوله. He loves Allah ورسوله. Do not be with the shaitan against your brother. If you have nasiha, come to him. For the one who was drinking alcohol multiple times from the Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هكذا علمنا رسولنا الحبيب. Sheikh, before I end, I know now why these millions are loving you. I discovered 5 things of Sheikh Yasir and I will end inshallah my interview. 5 things make this guy, all these people love him. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. 5 things. Knowledge as a first thing. The second thing, subhanallah, smartness. Then the third thing, subhanallah, kindness. Then the fourth thing, subhanallah, humbleness. And the fifth thing and the last thing, communication skills. Because of that, alhamdulillah, we are loving our Sheikh, Dr. Yasir Qadi. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu fika, Mawlana.
Faya dhulli wa ya khajali Iza ma qala li rabbi Ama istahiyaytah ta'asini ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.